In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all of you. 2020 is behind us, if you can believe it. And however you approach 2021, may it be full of God's blessings, good health, safety, and an abundance of kindness. If you make New Year's resolutions, may they be fulfilling ones, and perhaps not one of seeking an ideal self. I tend not to make resolutions anymore because I start off feeling upbeat and virtuous, only to notice a slow fade of all the good intentions where I just crash and burn whatever it was that I set out to do. But one thing that 2020 has taught me, and I suspect has taught many people, is that the need to be deeply grateful for small things. And so this year I have made a resolution of a kind, and that is to be grateful for even the smallest of things. Having you here in church, masked again, but here in church and the church open. Well, today we celebrate the feast of the Epiphany, which falls on the 6th of January traditionally. This coming Wednesday, as I mentioned in the children's talk, we'll be here at St. John's taking down the beautiful wreaths and the Christmas trees and removing the nativity scene for another year. And hopefully we'll have a few hands on deck to help us do this in the afternoon, and then we can share a cuppa together. It's not that Christmastide fades away, but that we mark on Wednesday an especially important day in the church calendar. The word Epiphany is strange. It has a vaguely churchy sound about it, or you may know it in a more sort of secular setting where you have a moment or an experience of sudden insight or life-changing moment of clarity. I've had an epiphany. Like it was a moment of epiphany for me. The Greek word epiphaneia, or it means really a manifestation or a striking appearance. Epiphany. What does it mean for Christians? It may or may not mean a great deal anymore. Some might remember Peter referring to the 12 days of Christmas. Or you may know it as Christmastide, or the season of Twelvetide. That is, from Christmas Eve to the evening of the 5th of January, which is itself called Twelfth Night, and you may have read Shakespeare's play, Twelfth Night. Epiphany. This day that we're marking this morning is a day of huge significance. It marks the manifestation of God in Jesus. It's that hugely significant. It marks the revelation of God in the human person of Jesus. Each gospel presents a different aspect of Epiphany. Luke's gospel tells a story with different characters of angelic visions and shepherds. Mark's gospel with the baptism of Jesus. John, the wedding feast of Cana in particular. But the Gospel of Matthew, which we heard read today, includes strange, almost cinematic characters. Magi or magoi, or kings, or wise persons, or sages, question mark. What were they? Were they magicians or astrologers or astronomers? Or were they a combination of these? They come from faraway lands, riding camels, we assume, over hundreds of miles to an unknown destination, led by a mysterious star, carrying extravagant but somewhat impractical treasure. Where does metaphor and historical veracity begin and end? We don't really know for certain where the Magi came from. Maybe Persia. We're not 100% certain of their cultural or religious background. But what we can appreciate is that the Magi know. They know that something critically important is happening, and they follow a prompting to discover what this incredibly important thing is. They trust God's purpose, and they trust God's destination. There are other questions that this reading prompts. How many were in the caravan crossing the desert? Was it just three? Were there many more? Possibly hundreds. Can we still see the star that they were following? If we point our Stargazer app, which I've got on my phone, towards the night sky. On the 21st of December, you may remember in the news that when I think Jupiter and Saturn, two planets, were very close together, they called it the Star of Bethlehem because it shone more brightly than in the last 800 years. So what star were they following? All of these details are fascinating, and we could spend days going down different rabbit holes on Google, which I like to do, but if we did that, we run the risk of blotting out the central message that the Magi were attentive to God and seeking out the purposes of God and bringing gifts. This is wisdom. Sometimes these people are called the wise men. Implied in Matthew's text is that the Magi have attributes of the intelligent and spiritual and scientific and philosophical. They seek to discern God's purpose. Wise people do seek intelligibility or patterns or meaningful arrangements, not just drifting around purposelessly. And the Magi act. They don't stay wherever they are. They act on God's purpose and direction. They travel across hundreds of miles, which was dangerous, no matter how lofty a position you hold. The journey was hard. We might wrongly imagine, because of Christmas cards and other imagery, that the people travelling wore crowns and ermine, and they stayed in five-star hotels along the way, and it was a quick and soft journey. But we must imagine them moving steadily along a perilous path towards someone they believe is the new king. They are not wandering aimlessly all over the place. They have a purpose and direction, even without all the details. Another message is this. The Magi look outwards. They look beyond themselves. A number of scholars I respect argue that the Magi could have been kingmakers. That is, they were more powerful than even the king. Yet here they are, embarking on a journey, seeking a child who is worth putting everything else aside for. A child worth alienating the most powerful person in Judea for. When they arrive in Jerusalem, they say to Herod, not in words so much, but in the questions that they're asking, "We are not here to pay homage to you. We're here to pay homage to a new king." I think Matthew paints, pardon me, a dramatic and political choice here that the Magi make. There's a strong contrast of power here. The Herods of the world, it's all about them, their egos, their grip on power, forcing the world to conform to their self-serving worldview. The Magi are not coming to pay homage to this. The Magi are looking for a new king found in the power of love and light and vulnerability. At possible risk to themselves, they declare their intention to pay homage to a child who is king instead of paying homage to the established power broker. And pay homage to Christ they do. They recognize in the Christ child the manifestation of God. These lofty travelers from afar kneel in front of Jesus, in whom they see the perfect pattern of God's purpose. And they are overcome with joy. They bring the Christ child gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But I think infinitely more precious what they bring and lay in front of Christ is themselves. They are there paying homage to the Christ child, God. And another message that I think this interesting reading shares with us, that God in Christ has been revealed to all of the nations, not just in a small little space, but to all people for all time. God cannot be confined or limited. God's love is for all. Christ's light is for all, bar none. Our first reading this morning from Isaiah describes a magnificently restored Israel with the prophet's beautiful, stirring swirlings of light imagery. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The word shine in Hebrew denotes more than shine or illumination, but the breaking light of dawn. The breaking light of dawn. You know, that soft light that covers the whole horizon and speaks of newness every single day. This is what we're talking about. The light is not just for Zion, but for all nations. The light of dawn. It's such an apt image, I think, for the breaking in the first week of a new year. And the story of the Magi and the manifestation of God in Jesus is a story of the light of the world projecting out, spreading out beyond Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and Israel. And it's a story of this light bringing overwhelming joy. The Magi, if nothing else, and of course there is plenty there, but if nothing else, reveal people who discern the truth about God, who know that their purpose and direction is shaped by God, and that when they reach their destination, they find God and lay in front of Him everything. Epiphany is defined as a sudden moment of clarity, of grasping something important and then living into that new clarity or comprehension. At the start of a new year, the start of 2021, the new invites us to look ahead once again with optimism and hope, even in the midst of significant challenges. I pray that the new year includes moments of epiphany, the wonder and joy of new discoveries about God, of finding out more about God's purpose and direction for our lives, of realizing all over again that the light of the world in Christ shines as brightly today as it did all those years ago, for us and in us, and of all of us, all of our gifts, we lay at the feet of the Christ child, of Jesus. May I wish you and your family all of God's blessings for 2021, for a safe and healthy and blessed year ahead. Amen.